Well, 2 weeks ago, we began the Sugya of Shnayim Ochsin. Big Sugya, right? Goes all the way up to Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. The next major Sugya begins in the bottom of Gimel Amud Aleph with what's called Rav Chiya Kamaisa. We'll talk more about that in Yetzir Shem when we get there. And Shavuos Mordei B'Miktzas and Shavuos in general. But there's still a lot to do here, you know, on Daf Beis and Gimel Amud Aleph of things that come up Toch Kedei. And if you remember when we learned the Gemara 2 weeks ago, there were two parts of the Gemara. The first part was explaining the Mishnah. Right, Kula Shali Ani Mitzatia. And the second part is cross-referencing our Mishnah relative to other psakim, Rabbanon, Sumchus, Benanas. That's basically what we're going to be doing. These are very important sugyas this week and next week. This week, we're going to be learning Yemitza Hashem, the first part of the Gemara, explaining our Mishnah, a number of important sugyas, Ein Tzavak Motzi Midei Vadei, for example, and then Kinyan Bereiya, Yemitza Hashem tomorrow, and then the Reisha V'Seifa Mekachu Memker. Right, also important. And then Velechzi Zuzim Iman Noketla, which has one of the things that the Rishonim spoke the most about in the first parak of Baba Metzia, and that is Eid Echad being poter from a Shavua. And so this will be an interesting week because as opposed to, let's say, the first week where we spent fully on Shnayim Ochsin, and the second week fully on Migalotzi, all 3 days, this week each day is going to be a different sugya. I know some people like one way, some people like the other way. We're learning what it is. Today, Yemir Tashem Ein Tzavak Metzim Vadai, tomorrow, Kenyan, Beria, etc. Mir Tashem, next week, we'll get back to bigger sugyas like Maman Amutl B'Safik, the Machlokas between Sumchis and the Rabbanon, which is a huge one, and Benanas, and Mir Tashem. You know, most of the sugyas in Bab Metzia ourselves about the relationship between the second part of Tosus and the first part of Tosus, because they seem to be totally two totally different things, and you wonder why they're under one rubric. And this is, of course, an issue that the Maharam relates to. I'm sure people saw the Maharam. It says after the Gemara rejects the possibility of building off Migu, only then can it say, you know what, why doesn't the Vadai win totally? Because if there were a Migu, you wouldn't have Suffolk and Vadai. Okay. He's addressing this question of the relationship, and we'll speak about it a little bit more as we get more into Tosfos. Of course, Tosfos' question is, why is our case different than the case of Suffolk Yavam? And I assume everyone, you know, looked up or didn't look up, but clarify what that's talking about. Yavam is Daf Lamed Ches. Obviously, if you want to distinguish between our case and that case, we have to understand what that case is talking about, right? But Suffolk Yavam, we're not sure if someone is a Yoresh or not, right? Whether he was born 7 months to the second husband, Yavam, and thus he's the son of the Yavam and gets no chelik. But whether he was born 9 months to the first husband, that's why a woman who loses her husband or gets divorced is not supposed to get married for 3 months. So we know whose child eventually will be born. But in this case, it wasn't done. And we're not sure whether this guy is the grandson through the one who died or the grandson through the Yavam, in which case he has no chelik. Okay. Tosa says our case also should be a Vadai versus a Suffolk. Because both sides agree that the one who said Kulishali owns half. Okay. The question here is, before we get to the answer of Tosos, why should we view it as a case of Vadai and Suffolk? Meaning, one guy is Vadai on the half, it's true. But the other half, he's Suffolk on as well. I think Tosos Kasha is understandable, particularly according to the formulation, the view of the Chedushi Aran that we saw by Migu Lahotzi, which we suggest it could be pshat in our Tosfos, the first part of the Tosfos. And again, I keep quoting the Chiddush Aran because he's clear about it, that we view both of them as fully muchzuk. If we view both of them as fully muchzuk, so the Vadai we know is a muchzuk here. We know that his muchzukas means something because we know he owns half. And now we view him as muchzuk on the whole thing. The Suffolk, it's true he's holding on to it, but we have no basis to believe that he owns it. So if you view not each one as tafas on half, but each one is, who we know has a right here as toughest on the whole thing, we understand Tosfos Kasha very well. And I think, you know, an expression of the alternative view, meaning not each one owning fully, but back to the old story of half and half, we have in which one of the Rishonim here? In the answer he raises and rejects, Edinger, which one of the Rishonim do we see the piecemeal view of half and half? That's the Shita Mekubetzes. And thank you to Eitan for sending out the footnotes, because it is hard to understand that Shita Mekubetzes. And I will tell you, I was planning to send out the footnotes as well, and Yishkoyach to Eitan, Shekivanti, sending it to everyone. But the answer that he raises, the Gilyon raises, is the Ein Letaritz. What was the Ein Letaritz? The Lakachin Mamina Lo Al Revi Bishvua, Mishum De Islay Migu. We don't believe the one who's holding fully on the other Reviya. Mishum De Islay Migu, because the half guy has a Migu. And he could have said, hold. The Havi Lahazik. And we should view the half guy as Lahazik, because he's holding that half. And as the footnotes that she went to explain, this Gilyon was viewing it as on the other half. We view each of them as muchzik on the half. So again, that's the alternative view in that answer suggested by the and rejected by the Gilyon. Okay, so that's Tosis Kasha. Obviously, the Shir today is going to focus on Tosis' answer and the other answers, but just to connect again Tosis Kasha back to the issue we've been talking about all along, you know, as a running thread, how you view the Shnaya Mochzim. Questions before we get to the answers of Tosos? Eitan, you're making Eitan Edinger is making Eitan Drapkin a little insecure. You know, I think Eitan Drapkin is totally fine if Eitan Edinger wants to do the photocopying part of the job. But you know, we got to be careful. Okay, all right. So let's get now to the answers.
And really, I think
the question behind the answers is
trying.
Someone trying to ask a question, or just trying to disturb. You know. We just want to know what you're trying to do so we can, you know, deal with you properly. Okay. Anyway, the question behind all the answers here is, bottom line, is our case a case of Vadai against Suffolk? Is it or isn't it? So what does Tosa say about this? Is our case a case of Vadai versus Suffolk? No? Tosa's answer. Is it Vadai versus Suffolk or not? Right, Ephraim is shaking his head. No, that's exactly Tosa's point. You thought this was Suffolk against Vadai. It's not true. The Vados that the Kula Shuli guy has is only significant for the half that he wins. And it could be that according to Tosa, the chilak here is between the Muchzakus, which may be on the whole thing, versus the Vadoyus, which is only on half. Now, obviously, the question is why? You know, why does the Vadoyus not connect to the other half? And this is a kasha asked by many achronim, like the Nachlas David, Chem de Shlomo, and here I gave you the Nachlas David. V'tirutza meina muvan. V'hagam kan yesh lomer shezeh vada higbiya et ametziya v'zeh sofik im higbiya. V'im kein dam yamamish l'sofik v'yavam. Bottom line is, the question is, who picked it up and was koneh? So this guy we know, we have reason to believe, picked up half. And if he picked up half, he picked up the full thing. So what's pshat? What's the difference? So this, of course, Tosfos doesn't explain to us. And I believe there's two ways of explaining the answer of Tosfos. One is a quantitative way. Again, in Hebrew, the word is kamuti. The other is a qualitative way. Let's start with the quantitative way. The Shita Mekubetzes quotes the Rashbat. We've already seen him do that. Gives the answer that he gives. The lo domi dehasam ayavim huvade b'chol nechaz v'safik safik b'kulam ve'en lolito klum aval zeh alfa pishu huvade b'miksatalis lo choshev vade b'kulam. Doesn't explain why, but he says that the Vadoyus on the first half says nothing about the second half. And we find this formulation also where? We find this formulation also in the Piskei Tosfos. Because if you look at the Shita Mekubetzes, he says the Rashbetz Tiritz B'Inyan Acher. Is it Inyan Acher from the Gilyon? Is it Inyan Acher from Tosfos? Probably from Tosfos. So it seems that Shita Mekubetzes understood the Rashbat's answer to be different than that of Tosfos. But if you take a look at the Piskei Tosfos, which is a summary of, you know, the psukim that come out of Tosfos, so at least the Piskei Tosfos understood it this way also. I'm sure everyone saw it. Ostal it ain omrim kishu vade b'miksas shu vade b'kula, meaning the vadoyus over the miksas doesn't extend to the whole thing. Again, the Rashbats and Tosfos aren't explaining why. So it could be the explanation is along the lines of Rabbi Kiva Eger and his tshuva, although frankly, Rabbi Kiva Eger's formulation, I think, you know, leads a little bit in the direction of the second explanation, in which case we're blurring the lines. But let's see what he says. He quotes the Tosfos, right? And he says, "Hainu dechetzi shu modulo hu inyan bifnei atzmo, v'al chetzi hasheni didonin alav shneim shavim." Okay, aval besafik v'yavam ze bevadai shem hayoresh al nechasim. Says Rabbi Kiva Eger, by Yerusha, we know that he is a Yoresh He has a Shem Yoresh on everything. His status of Yoresh applies to everything. Here, the fact that everyone agrees about the first half, there's no status on the second half. Now again, this statement of Rabbi Akiva Eger, I think, already moves us to the second part, which is the Mishnah Lamelech, who makes a chilek between Mammon and Yerusha. He says it's the difference between claims made on Mammon and Yerusha. And if I had to explain the Mishnah Lamelech, I would say Yerusha is based on a relationship, a natural relationship between, right, a Morish and a Yorish. We're talking about Shnai Mochs in our situations, claims, Tfisa. There is no natural relationship between the person who's making the claim and the object. So, you know, by Yerusha, once you have a Shem Yorish, you're in the game Bevados. Here, the fact that we know you own part of this may be something you could say to yourself, you know what, that should have implications for the rest, but there's no real connection. So again, is Tosa saying something else? Is Tosa saying this, what the Mishnah Melech seems to be saying? We don't know, because he doesn't explain himself. But I think those are the two ways to go. The first way, the quantitative way, is to say that the Vadoyus does not extend, and now we have to explain why. The second is to say there's a difference between claims of Mammon and issues of Yerusha. Okay. Any questions regarding Tosas before we get to the other answers and of course, you know, contrast them with each other?
Yeah, Rabbi, if according to the first man's answer of commentary, why well, can't just explain that the Vodas doesn't carry over and that Tadi and Tosos that he views the part of the talent couldn't have, and therefore it
You're
makes sense why it wouldn't
that the
carry
transition
over.
From the Kasha to the Teretz is about how we're viewing the Tfisa. Is that what you're suggesting, John Kaz?
Yeah, I guess.
The reason it doesn't seem that way from Tosfos, and none of the others say it, okay, and maybe that's why, is because if so, you would have expected Tosfos to make that point in his answer. Oh, you thought they were both Tofis on the whole thing? No. Right, they're each Anan Sadi, and that's why it doesn't go. That Iker is Chasam and Asefer. That's why I think nobody says that, except for John Kaz, which, of course, would be Masher, you, a Makom, his Gaderbo. Okay. Let's now get to the answers of the other Rishon. There are two other answers, Tosas Rosh and the Rashba, and of course the Ritva Yashan. I hope everyone had a chance to see it all. In any case, Tosas Rosh and the Rashba say like this. They say there is Vadoas on the first half, but the Vadoas on the first half is a weaker Vadoas. And Tosas doesn't seem to say that, right? It's a weaker Vadoas, and therefore it doesn't extend. It doesn't extend. We don't say, it's not about extending it. It's about, we don't say, Ein Safek Motzei Midei Vada in this type of Vados. Well, why is it weaker? Let's see the Tosas Rosh. Venerili, Telo Kasha, Deshani Hacha, Haida Amr Kula Shali, Eino Vadai Bechatzi Hatalis, Ela Mitoch Divrei Omer Chetzi Shali. Sharei Gam Hu Mochzik Bechatzi Hatalis, Bi Boi Hav Amr Kula Shali, Umishin Detoin HaEmes, Lo Yafsid, Now, when you first read this Tosas HaRosh and the Rashba, it can sound like they're basing off what? It could have sounded like they were basing off Migo, right? Since the other guy could have won by keeping his mouth shut, but it's definitely not what they're saying, right? That's why none of you even wanted to even consider it. If anything, it sounds more like Pesha Asa or Pesha Hittu. Which means like this. The guy who said Chetzi Shali didn't have to say Chetzi Shali. He could have kept his mouth shut and they were both Muchzuk. You, the guy who said Kula Shali, are building your Vados off the words of the other guy. You can't say we're going to use the words of the guy who said Chetzi Shali to base the Vados of the guy who said Kula Shali, but not accept his words about himself. You can't do that. You're building off my mouth. So you can't say you're Vadai because of me and I'm not Vadai. This is in essence not true Vadoyas. Not Vadoyas we can build Ein Safek Motzei Midei Vadai on. Any questions on the Tosas Rosh and Rashba? So let's now move to the Ritva Yashan. The Ritva Yashan says it is Vadai. As opposed to Tosas said it's not Vada. As opposed to the Rashba and the Tosas Rosh who say it's partially Vada. The Ritva gives ground. It really is Vada, like you asked in your Kasha. Avalhai Kevin the Tofus Ba. Vaday chulka isle begave. Danan sadi de maidetov is didehu. Hilkach nefotru below klum lo efshar. The Ritva says like this. It's true. As far as the Tanis, it's vaday in Suffolk. It's vaday in Suffolk. But the other guy is toe-face. You can't ignore that. You can't say that he doesn't get anything. What happened here? Oh, yeah, you can't say that he doesn't get anything. Even though it's vaday in Suffolk, the Suffolk has chaskas mamon. Now here, obviously, the question about the Ritva's answer is, what is the implication of the cheskes mama? See, you could say, even though the guy says chetzi sheli is a suffik, because he has cheskes mama, and you can't send him away with nothing. You can't take it out of his hands. But I think one can say even sharper, even more integral. No, anyone wants to say it? Because he has cheskes mama, and therefore somebody say it? He's a vadai too. It's true that as far as the claims are concerned, the Kula Shali is a Vadai and the Chetzi Shali is a Suffolk. But the Muchzakus means that the Chetzi Shali is a Vadai too. And I believe that this is actually what the Ritva is saying. One could say what the Ritva is saying differently, but the Ritva says, let's read it again. Aval hai, kevon de tofus ba, Vadai chulko isle begave. He's a Vadai from a different direction. And therefore, it's not Suffolk versus Vadai, it's Vadai versus Vadai. Any questions about the three answers before we speak about them a little bit more, Be'iyun, and about the relationship between them?
Everybody, I have a question.
One at a time. Aiden, we're going alphabetical order. Aiden. Yes.
Are all the Rishonim agreeing that Tosos's question says that the Chetzi guy should get nothing or that he should only get a Revia?
I think Tosos's question is that the Chetzi guy should get nothing. Because he's Suffolk, ain't Suffolk moitzi midevada.
So why does the Maharam say this stuff has to come after the way we answered Migo?
I think his point of saying is like this: if there would have been a Migo, so then we wouldn't have said ain't Suffolk moitzi midevada because the Migo would have strengthened you. But once we see there's no Migo, so now we're going the other way and saying you shouldn't get anything. Next,
even if that quarter is only moitzi lahachzik.
Well, that's the point the Shita Mekubetzis is making in the name of the Gilyon, right? Yes, Zach Deith.
Why can't we read the Tosos Rosh as commenting on Migo? He uses that Lashon, and then he could just say Migo is the reason we can't say
I guess when it comes to reading people, it's a matter of the eye and the beholder. Doesn't sound that way to me. Doesn't sound that way to me. If it sounds that way to you, okay, who am I to disagree with Zach Deith, right? What I mean is, you know, when it gets to reading and how things seem, you know, it's in the eye of the beholder, right?
Rabbi.
Yes.
The Ritva's just answering why he doesn't get any, right? Why he gets more than nothing. Does he give an indication as to why he gets a quarter bedavka?
Well, I mean, that's the sugya. That's not what the Ritva's talking about, right? So now we say achloku on the second half, you know, right? That's the old story, right? Okay, so now the question becomes, what's the argument about here? Let's start with the other Rishonim who didn't answer like Tosfos, who believed that this is considered a question of Vadai and Suffolk. And I think the point is that even though the other Rishonim held, even though you're a Vadai only on the first half, right, there still is some implication for the second half, right? That was what we were trying to explain according to Tosfos. How he could say what he says. It's easy to understand the others, right? There's a talis, and you know, the question is who picked it up. We know that at least on the first half, you know, we know that you did, and exactly the kasha that was asked on Tosfos is the logic of the other Rishon. But the question is, how do we explain Tosfos? Why does Tosfos say what he says? So I believe that one can say Tosfos has a different understanding of Ein Suffolk Motzi Midei Vadai. And he holds that Ein Suffolk Motzi Midei Vadai is only relevant in cases where the Vados completely stops the possibility of Leidas HaSuffolk. This point is made by the Birch HaShmuel and Simon Beis. I put in parentheses in the name of his Rebbe, Reb Chaim. There are two kinds of situations in Sfeikos. One is where we have a suffix and we need to know how to decide the suffix. The second is where we have a strong enough base to ignore the existence of any suffix. We don't view a suffix as taking off because of the strength we know and have. Nebi Chishmuel suggests chiluk here, according to Tosfos, between ein suffix motze midei vadai and hamotze mechaver olav araya. Hamotze mechaver olav araya doesn't mean there's no suffix. There could be a suffix. The fact that I have a cheskes mamon doesn't mean there's no suffix. It just means that you can't take it out of my hands unless you have more than a suffix. You need a raya. Ein suffix motze midei vadai, says Baruch Ber, is that when we know for sure, when we know something for sure, we don't recognize sfeikos. We don't accept the leidas ha-suffik. And therefore, if you're saying this, that ein suffik motzei midei vadai means that, it would thus only exist when there's no suffik. You would have a higher standard needed in order to apply ein suffik motzei midei vadai. You need a higher standard of vados. And this is what Tosu is saying here. The fact that you're vada in the first part doesn't make you vada in the second part to the point where there's no leidas ha-suffik. And this would explain to us also why Tosus doesn't answer like the others, why he says what he says, and why he doesn't say what the others say. The Rush was saying, you know, you're basing it off the other guy, you can't say that. And Tosus says, I don't care. I don't care what the vados is built off of. Right? It's not a struggle on the level of rayas. It's not allowing a suffix to get started. So once we know that you're a vadai, we don't consider possibilities that are only suffix. And I think we could explain why Tosus doesn't say like the Ritva either. Because again, if there's no leidas ha-suffix, then you could be motzi even from cheskas mamon. There's no leidas ha-suffix here. That's the significance, the implication of ein suffix motzi midei vadai. So again, on the one hand, you need real vados, but once you have real vados, it's much stronger. We don't care what it's based upon, and it would take out of cheskas mamon also. So that might be a deeper level here about the idea of ein suffik motzei midei vadai, which is really formulated that way, right? We have vados, we don't start with sveikos. And explaining how Tosus applies it here, and why Tosus agrees that our case is not a case of ein suffik motzei midei vadai, because you need a higher bar in order to create that kind of certainty. And really the question at hand is, what is this principle of ein suffik motzei midei vadai? Is it similar to things like a motzei mechaver olav araya? Right? Just we keep where it is, we keep where it is. Or no, it's a stronger statement about vados and the lack of leidas ha-suffik. So tomorrow, as I mentioned at the beginning of Shir, in Yiras Hashem, we're going on to the next part of the Gemara, where it talks about Kinyan Beri'ah. And I recommend, as I always recommend, learning the Gemara well, not just jumping to the Rishonim. And again, over the last few days, we've been learning this Tosfos here, very important Tosfos, which isn't so much the Gemara, although, you know, Tosfos and Megillah Hotzi built off the Gemara in Baba Basra, Daf Lamed Beis, and we learned that Gemara very well, right, with Rabba and Rav Yosef and Rav Yidi Bar Avin and the stages. Okay, but Gemara is in other places, so it's always important to learn the Gemara wherever the Gemara is. Here we're mamish in the guts of our sugya regarding Kinyan Beri'ah. And again, we'll try Yirat Hashem to finish it tomorrow. It's not huge. It's a little bit bigger than today. But you know, it's manageable. Definitely not 2 days. And then we're going to talk about the concept of Mekach U'Memker when we say Sefer B'Mekach U'Memker in the Rashi and the Arakti and the Tosfos. And then Yirat Hashem Wednesday, Thursday. Now that's a sugya that is a little bit more than 2 days, but I think we can do it. I think we can handle it in 2 days. I think we're ready. So we can start next week fresh with Mamun Hamutl B'Safik. So it's great to be able to continue learning with you. And I look forward to seeing people in each Seder whenever possible. And in the Shiurim that I give, and for those who didn't see on the mass list, we started some Chaburas with like 5 guys in each slot so people can ask questions, etc. You can sign up for those if you're interested. And everyone should keep doing what they're doing. It's an exciting idea of having a full week, which means a Sunday, Monday, a Tuesday, straight through. And, you know, we should learn and play ball and do our things and do all the things that Yitzhak Hashem will put together a full week. Everyone should have a great day. And if you want to learn how to mask twirl, you can speak to Eitan Dratkin. We said pencil twirls, you know, that's a Yonadav. And Kazlau, mask twirling would be Eitan Dratkin. Okay.